Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Thank you all. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. And by Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained a witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Now, I want to deal a little bit with faith. Faith is very, very unusual. People use the word faith for a lot of things, but in the Word of God, faith is always believing God. Even though you don't feel like it's right, you believe it anyway. And faith, that issue of faith, is kind of like that thing in Raiders of the Lost Ark when he stepped off and that thing formed and the other side was over here. That looked like faith. But I want you to understand that really isn't faith. Not according to this. I thought about that after the illustration I gave Wednesday night. I thought this will be interesting because go to Romans chapter 10. In Romans chapter 10, hold on to Hebrews because we're going to come back. Yeah. Verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith doesn't form just out of belief systems. The faith that he's talking about in the Word of God forms based upon that which God wrote. And that's very important different. Illustration back over here. He had a book that had this secret, The Leap of Faith. Remember that in the Raiders of the Lost Ark? Now, that didn't come out of the Word of God. So he was taking the man's writing and believing it to be true, which is an example of faith. The difference is faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So God isn't going to give you some belief that isn't in the Word of God. Does that make sense? So people believe things in the Word of God that aren't necessarily so. They heard it in the Word of God, and they believe it to be true, and they claim it to be faith. For example, go to John 14. Hold on to Hebrews. We're going to come back, I know, someday. I'm doing the best I can. Do I sound okay? I sound kind of weird to myself.
You sound good.
Okay. I don't know if I like that answer.
I can make you sound good over here, sir.
Brother, thank you. One of the things that always gets me is unanswered prayer. And people claim this passage all the time. And the problem is it isn't true for you today. And in verse 13... Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified. Come on down, verse 14. If you shall ask anything in my name, what does he say? Now, if that was true for us today, my son would be alive right now. You understand? My son died. Those people could raise the dead. I've asked many things in the Lord's name, and it didn't come to fruition. But see, the problem is God didn't intend for you to be able to do that. That wasn't for you. Say, should I pray about all things? You should have seen how praying your preacher was over the last 2 days. Lord, let me just get home safe. And I'm just telling you that unanswered prayer is the most unique thing, because he didn't say this. He didn't say, if you shall ask anything in my name, I'll do it if it's okay with me. That's not what he said. God was very clear on what he said. If you ask it in my name, everybody, I will do it. Then if you ask it in the Lord's name and he doesn't do it, then he's a liar. Got it? You can't have both. Either God meant what he said here, if you shall ask anything in my name, this is not, you know, this doesn't need a new translation. Amen? This doesn't need something rewritten in it for you to better understand it. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. So what happens if you ask something in the Lord's name and he doesn't do it? Amen. Say that again, louder.
According to this passage, he lied.
He would have lied. But what do we know about God?
God's not
a man that he should lie. So then there has to be another answer to the passage of understanding faith. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We just heard the Word of God. But if you take something that was written to somebody else and try to apply it to you, you're going to get in trouble. And that's where the problem lies. You understand? Not only that, it is fascinating to me that if you'll... Can I erase this big cliff? I'm going to put the timeline up a little bit. We're in John right here, right? And he says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Well, over here, you have the saving the Apostle Paul, writes 13 books. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Hold on to John. You're going to want to write a note. You're going to want to write a note. You can let go of Hebrews for a minute. We'll come back to it. I think we can find it again. Is that okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to start in verse 7. It's just kind of cutting in the context. Please go home and read the context. But verse 7, unless I should be exalted above measure, the abundance of through the abundance of revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Now what did he say in John 14? He asked three times and nothing happened. What is the dealy-willy with that? You see, the reason I'm talking about prayer and faith is you can see it in actuality. You know, we talked about faith and money. You know, I'm always tickled at people how they give. I mean, how most people give to the Lord is they have a paycheck. Here's their paycheck. And a piece of the pie goes to the house and, you know, on and on, you know, the pieces. And if there's a little left over, they give to the Lord. That's not faith. Okay? That's a math problem. You got it? Doesn't take faith to do that. You had excess money you can give, right? Doesn't take faith to do that, does it? How about if you gave something above yourself? That was uncommon to your normal giving. And you couldn't figure it out. That's faith. Y'all understand? Things you can't see. Well, with prayer, Paul seeks the Lord three times. And this is what the Lord answers back to him. He goes, verse 8, he says, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. He basically said, I'm not going to answer your prayer. I'm not going to answer your prayer. But he said over here in John, look back at John, 14. These are not the same, and your faith has to know the difference. Otherwise, your faith is going to be built upon philosophies and not the Word of God. You got it? You want your faith to be established, not just based upon verses, but verses that God specifically... Sorry about that. Did I spray anybody? Sorry about that. It was a big one. Come up. I can tell you my mouth is 10 times wetter than it normally is. It's kind of interesting. I'm sucking it down as fast as I can. Let me wash it down. Maybe that would be better. Nope, didn't help. John 14, verse 14. The Bible says, if you ask anything in my name, everybody. Well, what did Paul do?
Maybe he didn't ask in Jesus' name.
Oh, I'm sure he would have. He's talking to the Lord. And the Lord answers him. Look back in verse 9 again. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And Paul says, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecution and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So now here we got a very strong contrast that people claim by faith, John 14, all the time. I hear it all the time. And we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. And they claim that verse, and then it doesn't happen. What's up with God? Well, God is doing different things in different dispensations. And if you don't dispensationalize the Bible, you can claim a verse until, ready for this? Hell freezes over, by the way. I would hint to you that that probably is not going to happen in our lifetime, nor in any future lifetimes. But you can claim a verse that isn't written to you, and the effects are going to be exactly as if you had nothing. Go back to Hebrews chapter 11.
When it don't happen, they always say you wouldn't pray
enough. Yeah, you didn't have enough faith. You didn't have enough this. Well, folks, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. They did all the requirements. Amen. And it said if you had just faith of a mustard seed, you could do what? Move mountains. We've heard that time and time again. Well, how much faith is that? It isn't a requirement to have, you know, huge faith. You know what I'm saying? It's a requirement to have faith of a mustard seed. That's all that's required. So, Jamar hit it right on the thing, and that is, God either meant it, or if you ask it in Jesus' name and he doesn't do it, he's a liar, or that's not written to you, the church. You see, there's the only three options. Either God is a liar, or God didn't mean what he said, or he meant what he said to somebody specific, not you. And so the whole thing, Hebrews, go back to Hebrews. I want to deal in this issue just a little bit more in depth. I feel like I'm talking like this, you know. Very interesting, actually. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Now, you got to think about that. Go back to the story of in Genesis chapter 3. Go back there for a minute. And let's see the practical application. Actually, I want Hebrews, Galatians 4. I mean Genesis 4. What?
I was glad you got time to get that.
I think I'm going to drop this pill. Do you think it will send me crazy?
Say it loud.
You know, my son used to say that when he didn't understand. He'd say, say louder, I can't hear you. What he meant, I couldn't understand you. Actually, that was Jamie, wasn't it, honey? I'm sorry. Is this safe to take now? What will happen?
Take it with a little dot com. Let's watch and see. By the time the second service comes, we'll dig out.
It don't work that bad.
Meanwhile, back to the word.
Oh, I hope. Well, in case I go into parallel universes and I start speaking crazy things, Christy and Peggy will keep us entertained until I come back to Earth. Genesis chapter 4. I'm in like super pain now. He said not wait to pain, but I forgot there was no place to get meds done at 9 o'clock at night. Walmart had closed. Where else do you buy them?
CVS 24 hours.
Really? You can get drugs?
Down here, cause
move on. Okay. Well, I hope this goes away.
You pay for that service too.
All right.
I don't guess after us.
This is a wild crowd this morning. Genesis 4, verse 1. And Adam knew his wife, Eve, and she conceived and bare Cain. And she said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bared his brother, Abel. Now, there's a debate whether they were twins or not. Okay, look into my eye real closely. Look closely. I don't care. There's no give a care in this eye. I don't know. People go, well, it has to be. I'm going to prove it. Well, okay, I've been studying this book for 27 years. I can't prove it. But if you want to think they're twins, that's fine. If you want to think they're separate, that's fine too. I don't know.
Fact is they were brothers.
They were brothers. And Abel was the keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And right in that sentence, you understand that Abel understood that God wanted a blood sacrifice. Now, how do I know that God told Abel to bring a blood sacrifice and to Cain? Well, we know. What do we know, guys? He did it by faith. He said that he offered it by faith. Then how does faith come? By hearing the word of God. So they both had to hear it. God can't hold you accountable what you don't hear. God's only holding you accountable to what you hear. You with me? Now, I'm going to show you how the old devil works in all this and how to destroy your faith. Okay? He obviously knew that there was a necessary need of a blood sacrifice. Verse 3. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground the offering unto the Lord. Did God ever tell you to do that? So we know he's operating not based upon faith. He couldn't offer the vegetables because you can't squeeze blood
out of a turnip.
Right? You can't do that. And so we know that God required a blood sacrifice. But he literally brought something else. Now, it wasn't faith, although I would imagine in what he was doing for the Lord, he thought he was pleasing God. I believe that there was a sincerity involved in Cain. In fact, I can see him in my mind's eye plowing the field. Abel goes, what you doing? I'm planting some vegetables. I got some turnips right over here. And Abel goes, but you know, turnips don't have any blood. Yeah, but I'm going to give these to the Lord anyway to show him how good I am, how great a Christian I am. And he's wanting to impress the Lord. You understand? That's how many of us were before we got saved. Amen? I mean, we're plowing that garden up and we're letting it, you know, lay. And, You know, on the Lord's side, you know, you're sprinkling a little extra fertilizer so they really look good. I mean, you're doing some extra work over there, and you're impressing God. And I guarantee you, Cain thought he was impressing God. And when it came to the time to offer it, he brought the fruit of the ground. The problem, God never said, do that. God never said, okay, it's okay to do that, just bring whatever you want to bring. That's not what God said. God offered a blood sacrifice, told him to bring a blood sacrifice. You know how I know that? By it, Abel obtained a witness that he was righteous. Because he did what? He offered a blood sacrifice. And I would imagine in my mind's eye that Abel even brought one to Cain. So why don't you offer this too? No, I'm going to show the Lord what I did for him. You know, it's all about, I hear people all the time, hey, this is what I do for the Lord. You realize that nothing you do for the Lord is impressive to the Lord? Terry Pete, a friend of mine, used to say this, when you want to impress me, take up wings and fly. You got it? I mean, the Lord isn't impressed with us. Don't you understand that? He's impressed with His Son, Jesus Christ. God's impressed with His Son, Jesus Christ. He's not impressed with you. You might think He's impressed with you. I mean, there's times when I think Brenda's pretty impressive to God. But then she shows me she's just like I am. You know what I mean? Amen? And so this happens. And so, verse 4, and Abel, he also brought of the firstling of the flock and the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect on Abel. You know why? He did it by faith. Go back to Hebrews chapter 11 for a minute. Faith is so unique, and you have to rightly divide, and that's what I'm going to get to here in the next few minutes if my teeth will hold in. Hebrews 11, verse 6. You want to please God? God is not pleasured by your actions. God is impressed with your faith. That's what God's impressed with. He said in verse 6, but without faith it's impossible to please Him. Let's try that again. But without faith it is impossible to please Him. So you got to have where you can count on the Word of God 100% of the time. You got it? By the way, I want to give a shout out to Phoenix. Are they watching right now? Linda Seal? How do you?
Correct.
Okay, Lamb and Paul and Sandy, we're glad you're watching from Phoenix, Arizona. I wanted to give a little time just in case you had problems getting on or anything like that. I didn't want to just jump in and... We're always glad to have new people on the internet, and we appreciate you watching.
You have your phone today?
Yes, and my teeth. Can't forget either one now.
If you'd like to text Pastor Hampton, you can. It's 334-669-0920.
So without faith, it's impossible to please Him. So you can't just claim anything you want in the Bible and say, I got faith, therefore it is. That's not how it works. If you're not claiming the right part, your faith is void. It's vain. Say, well, I believe really hard. So did Cain. Cain was trying to impress God. It wasn't that Cain was going to make God mad. That wasn't his intent. His intent was to please God. So, what does Satan do? Well, go to 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians, boy, that just pages flip all at one time. 2 Corinthians 11. Now, think about faith and what you hear. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Amen? That's how faith comes. That's the delivery system of faith. And that's how faith works. And it works the same for everybody. But here's the problem. If you start to claim something in the Old Testament, over here, like the tithes. Now, what are the tithes?
Bring 10% of the produce of land.
10% of basically everything you grow. Cattle,
produce,
all of it. And it was taken up once a year. I have never seen a church take up a tithe. Ever. Ever. Nobody I know has taken up the tithe. They put a rod up, and every tenth item goes under, they yank it out. I don't see that happening. Okay? But they call it the tithe. And so people start thinking, well, I'm tithing now. You know, I'm giving to the Lord. And they're taught to give just a portion of their faith, right? So they give a little here and a little there. Would you realize that the tithe was under the law? And it wasn't an option with God. And if you didn't do it correctly, according to Malachi, you were robbing God. You got it? And it didn't really matter how you felt about it. It wasn't a feeling thing. God said, 10% of everything you own goes under this rod. And every third year, they took up a second offering called the year of the tithe. And they put two things, and that was to go for the fatherless and the homeless and the widows and on and on. And they would pass it through that bar. And they would do it once a year, except every 3 years they'd do it twice. I've never heard this taught my whole life. Been in church my whole life, never understood it. How many understood that that's the way it was? One person, two people. And the rest of us didn't know. So we just put money in, and money in, money in, and that's great. Praise the Lord, you know. But you're not tithing. But your faith is built upon something that isn't even true. Is that pleasing to God?
No.
You're just believing a lie. Who's the father of the lie? What people are doing today is a hogwash with tithes.
And if it's cash, it's more.
Yeah, if it's cash, you have to pay a fifth part more, the Bible says, in Leviticus 27. See, guys, all of this stuff was hogwash. Our faith was built upon things that aren't true.
That's right.
I believed that cleanliness was next to
godliness.
Oh, you heard that too when you were little. And I believed that was Bible my whole life until I got old enough to read the Bible, and then I read it, and I'm like, they lied to me. Somebody was lying to me. It isn't true. God will help those that... Huh? Did you believe that to be true? You know what? God will help those that can't help themselves. That's me. You got it? In 2 Corinthians 11, we love you too, Billy. Thanks, buddy. That's my nephew down in Pensacola watching. I'm glad y'all are watching. It's better than smoking dope. Amen? This is like 10 times better than that. It's not as good as that pill I just took, though. I'm starting to feel that thing kick in. I'm okay. Wow. In 2 Corinthians 11, now watch this. Satan plays with the Word of God. And he's trying to destroy your faith. And so how would be the best thing to do? Well, the best way to destroy somebody's faith is keep them in the Word of God. Just keep them out of the wrong part of the Bible. Verse 13. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13. Now you read carefully with me. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the what? Where did the apostles of Christ get taught? And John, right? They changed themselves into the apostles of Christ. Guess what's being taught every Sunday in every church just about? And as long as you did that, you could keep them blinded from the truth. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. 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 And it doesn't matter what religion we're talking about. If they're teaching Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that isn't true for you. Amen? Look at what he says. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed in the angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their well works. But hold it. Go to Romans 11. Romans 11, verse 6. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Then that tells me at one time it was what? Works. And if I was teaching to deceive you and tried to deceive you, I would teach you a works salvation. And these works would be found where? Wouldn't that be a great deception? And that is exactly the way that God keeps you from seeing the mystery that was revealed to and through the Apostle Paul. Wouldn't that be a great deception? I mean, think about it. According to Paul, he got a thing that had been what? Secret. There it is. Before the world began. So here it is back over here. And that this is the gospel and the only gospel that literally can say is that gospel that he got. So what would be a great deception if Satan came in and said, I'm just going to keep people in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They won't understand it. How many really understood anything in the Bible in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? It was all kind of vague and ambiguous, wasn't it?
Amen.
But buddy, after I learned Paul's epistles, that Paul was delivered a message, a gospel, that was a secret, man, all of a sudden, that whole timeline starts opening up and faith becomes established because now you know where you are in the Bible and your faith is established. Now, we're going to take a break. Let the piano players fight over the piano. This is what will be entertaining. And we will be back in about 15 minutes, Lord willing, hopefully still standing. And we're going to finish this thing on faith a little bit, because I think this is a very, very important part to what you believe in the Bible. Okay? So y'all take a break.